Hello and welcome to another episode of the Side by Side ATC podcast. I'm your host, Tom Haynes. And today, I wanted to kind of continue what I brought up last week and kind of expand on that. So, last week I talked about things you can do prior to getting to the academy. And one of the things that I talked about that if you go onto the FA Discord chat for the academy is a bit, there's a debate, let's say. But in my mind, it's a really good idea once you get your date to go to the academy to work on the non-radar map, to work on the low-altitude non-radar map. You are going to have a map test 13 working days into your time in the en route class. And it is more than enough time to memorize everything on the map. But I suggest that you work on it ahead of time so that you don't have to spend those 2.5 weeks worrying about the map test. And the map test is worth 2 points. It's worth 2% of your final grade. Now, it doesn't sound like much, and it's not compared with the other tests. It's actually the fewest points you're going to get on any of your tests. But it is one of the most important things for you to know going into non-radar. And that makes it one of the most important things that you'll work on while you're at the academy. And so why not, since the FAA has seen fit to put a copy of it on the Discord chat, and you should have access to it as soon as you sign in. You tell them your date, and they give you, you know, your class number and all this, and you get access to the chat. It's on there. You can download it. You'll have to do a special printer because it is a large map. And print one. Print two. Print the finished map, and then print a blank map so you can work on it. But one of the reasons people give for not studying the map is because on day one at the en route portion of the academy, maybe day two, because some leads like to do it all in one shot instead of splitting it up, you will have a lesson that goes over every part of the map and tells you what each part of the map is. And so one of the reasons that people give for not studying the map ahead of time is you don't know what you're studying. And there is some validity to that. It's much easier to remember stuff if you actually know why you're studying it and what they are. Okay? And so in an effort to take care of that particular train of thought, what I want to do on this podcast is kind of go over what is included in pardon me, the Aero Center non-radar map. And so I will take it very similar to what the lesson itself would take it. Okay? And so here we go. It's okay if you don't have the map. Refer back to this episode when you get it, and we can walk your way through the map. So I'm sitting here. I have a copy of the map in front of me that I downloaded from Discord. I actually printed out small, so my eyesight being what it is, it's kind of interesting. But the way the lesson starts is it tells you the sectors And so if you're looking at the map, you see Sector 66. That's the main part of the map. That's the one that you're going to work. It's called Jackson Low. The frequency for it is 125.0, the VHF frequency, which most pilots use. The UHF frequency, which is used by military, is 325.0. Okay, that may not mean a whole lot right now, so we'll keep going. Off to the northwest is Sector 67, which is Greenville Low. GLH is the identifier for that. Jackson is JAN. The frequency for Greenville Low is 126.0 VHF. UHF is 326.0. You may already be seeing a pattern. As we work from 67, now we're going clockwise. So now we're in the northwest corner. That's Helena Low, H-E-E, Hotel Echo Echo, for those of you learning the alphabet. The frequency, the sector number is sector 15. The frequency is 127.0 VHF. UHF is 327.0. Now I know you're seeing a pattern. As we continue clockwise, northeast corner is sector 12. That's Columbus Low. Charlie Bravo Mike is the identifier for it. And the frequency, believe it or not, I know most of you are already saying it, it's 128.0 VHF. UHF is 328.0. As we continue clockwise, now we're east of our main sector. That is Kewaunee Low, Echo Whiskey Alpha. That was one of the hardest ones for me to actually remember what the name of the sector was. The sector number is sector 65. The frequency, believe it or not, 129.0 or 329.0 UHF. Okay. Now, continuing clockwise, we come to Houston Center's airspace. And sector 30 is a different sector name from when I was there, but it's called, well, it's actually sector 27 now, not sector 30. Okay, sector 27 is Picayune Low. Papa Charlie Uniform is the identifier. The frequency for this, now, this is Houston Center, so it's a little bit different. It is going to be 133.1 for VHF. UHF is going to be 333.1. So you see what they're doing. For the UHF frequency, it's just a 3 instead of a 1 for every sector. Okay, so continuing clockwise, we come to sector H40. Picayune Low is sector H27. H40 is Polk Low, P-O-L-K. The identifier is Papa Oscar Echo. A lot of students get tripped up and they call it Polo. It's actually Polk Low. The sector for it, believe it or not, is 134.1 VHF. UHF is 334.1. So here again, we have another pattern. And then as we finish our clockwise trip around the airspace outside of us, we come to Fort Worth Center airspace. The sector number there is an F for Fort Worth, 30. It is Monroe Low. The identifier is Mike Lima Uniform. The frequency, 135.1 for VHF. UHF is 335.1. And no, that is not the actual sector frequency. It is the sector number. I actually worked that sector for a while. So those are your sector, which is Jackson Low, sector 66. There is a high altitude sector above Jackson Low, which in non-radar you will not have to deal with. And you rarely have to deal with it in radar. They call you. The sector number for that is sector 45. It is Vicksburg High, Victor Kilo Sierra. The frequency for it is 130.25 VHF. UHF is 330.25. And then down in Houston Center's airspace, we have Macomb High, which is H65. The frequency for that is 133.25 for VHF. UHF, 333.25. Okay? So, those are your sectors. Now, you do have two approach controls that you deal with. On the west, you have Monroe Approach, which in non-radar owns a surface to 6,000, and their frequency is 118.2 VHF or 258.2. Here they switched it up, 258.2 for the UHF. And then, of course, in your sector, you have Jackson Approach. They own the surface to 5,000 in non-radar. The frequency there, believe it or not, continuing with the theme of adding one, is 119.2 VHF or 259.2 for UHF. Okay, so those are all the sectors that are in your airspace and around your airspace. The numbers for the AeroCenter sectors and the other sectors don't follow a pattern. The frequencies do. Okay? And so, like I said, you can come back to this episode and go over that. Okay, so now we go to NAVAIDS, and that's just a fancy way, an ATC way of saying navigational aids. There are several types that will be in your airspace for non-radar. We'll start with the VORTAX, which is a VOR TACAN. I could give you the name. Don't worry about the name. The name actually may come up on the CKT1 test, but we'll get to that later. Just remember, it's a VORTAC. It's the one that's got, it's got six sides. It's got a little triangle in the middle, and then it's got little rectangles on the outside of the six-sided figure. Okay? So, the VORTAC in your airspace, in the very center of Jackson Lowe, is Magnolia VORTAC, Mike Hotel Zulu. Okay. On the north side of Jackson Lowe's airspace is Sidon VORTAC, Sierra Quebec Sierra. Then if you go east from Sidon, that will be to your right, you have Bigby VORTAC, which is India Golf Bravo. Okay. Now, if you go south from Bigby, you have Meridian VORTAC, which is Mike Echo India. Okay, continuing on, we'll just go clockwise. South of Magnolia, south of our airspace, you have Mike Charlie Bravo, that is Macomb. That is what Macomb High is named for, the Macomb VORTAC. Okay, and then one more VORTAC over on the west side, Monroe VORTAC. It's Mike Lehman Uniform, just like Monroe Low, and it is a VORTAC. Okay, now we get into some other types. You have what are called VOR DMEs. They're not VORTACs, they're not as strong as VORTACs, but they are used, and they are VOR DMEs. You have one that is west of Sidon, northwest of Magnolia. The identifier is Golf Lima Hotel. That is Greenville. VOR DME, which is what you have to say when you're giving a position or something like that. Okay. The other VOR DME is southwest of Magnolia, west of Macomb. It's in Poklo airspace. That is Hotel Echo Zulu, and that is Natchez VOR DME. Okay. Has to be said, VOR DME. And the way it's written normally is VOR / DME. And I do believe for the map test, and if anyone knows that this is wrong, please let me know. But I do believe for the map test, you have to type in VOR / DME. Don't know why, but I think that's just the only way the computer will take it. And so next for NAVAIDS, we have what are called NDBs, non-directional beacons. Okay, and we have three of them. One of them is at the Vicksburg Airport. It's Victor Kilo Sierra's, Victor Kilo Sierra, Vicksburg NDB. And just to the west of that is Tallulah NDB. That's Tango Kilo Hotel. And then northwest of that is Bravo Lima Echo NDB. That is Lake Providence. So those are the three type of NAVAIDS you're going to have on your test that you need to know. Okay. Now, we get into some of the meat of the map. Learning the NAVAIDS, learning the sectors, that's fairly easy. But if you're looking at a map, you've got all these lines on it. Okay? And all of these are what they call airways. And airways are becoming more and more almost extinct, but we still use them. And they still use them at the academy. We still use them in real life for routes for pilots, at low-level routes, high-level routes, So the low-level routes are what they call Victor Airways. You see the V on the map and then a number after them. That's a Victor Airway, and that's the way you say it. You say Victor 18, Victor 427, Victor 278, Victor 535. And that's the name of that airway. And then those are all low level, low altitude. They go up to 17,000 feet. Or 17,000 feet, if I want to be correct, air traffic wise. So Victor Airway, 17,000 and below. Flavel 180 and above airways are called jet routes. Okay. You have three of them in your airspace. Two that are mostly east-west, one that is north-south. Okay. The jet routes are pronounced J and the number that follows them, J4, J20, J52, J25, J35, J131 is another one. Not in your airspace, but so those are the high altitude routes. Now, a lot of the jet routes are really not being used as much. They have arrival routes and departure routes, and a lot of aircraft are being filed or being routed via a departure routing, a transition on that departure routing, and then straight to an arrival into their destination airport. But for the AeroCenter non-radar map, you do have quite a few Victor Airways, and you're going to use all of these Victor Airways. You need to know all of the Victor Airways. Okay, you need to know the names. You need to know, you're going to have to know mileages. You're going to have to know radials off of those nav aids that make up the Victor Airway. Okay, and if you are looking at the non-radar map, there's a lot of different radials. Off of Magnolia, 15. Off of Magnolia. Off of Monroe, you've got 3. Off of Macomb, you've got 3. Off of the Natchez VOR-DME, you've got 2. Off of Greenville VOR-DME, you've got 2. Off of Sidon, I see 7 plus holding pattern radials. So that's going to be 8. Off of Big B 2, off of Meridian 2. There are a lot of radials. So what is, you know, how do you want to learn the map? Well, that is different for everybody. The lesson will take you through the different airway. They'll start at a point. They'll take you what the radial is to the next point and what that radial is, and then, you know, and they'll do it in a very methodical way. However you learn best, you know, is what you need to do. And everybody is different on that. Believe me, everybody is different. And then each airway has what they call an MEA. So if you're looking at the map, you see the name of the Victor Airway on top. Like, we'll say Victor 4 or Victor 18 from Monroe to Jackson. It's an east-west airway, Victor 18. Victor 18 continues east from Jackson to Meridian. But Victor 18 between Monroe and Jackson, and on top of the line for the airway, you see the name of the airway. Underneath the line for the airway, there's a number, and it says 4,000. That 4,000 is the minimum en route altitude on that airway. They have to be at 4,000 or above to be able to use that airway. And so you're going to have 3 different altitudes to remember as far as when it comes to MEAs. The vast majority of the airways are going to be 3,000 MEA. There are 3 segments west of Jackson that are 4,000 for an MEA. And then there are 2 segments also west of Jackson, but more appropriately east of Monroe, where the MEA is going to be 5,000. So there again, the MEAs may be fairly easy to remember because there are only 3 that you have to remember. You just have to remember, okay, most of them are 3,000. Where are the 3? One airway is 4,000 from Jackson Meridian. Or I'm sorry, from Jackson Monroe. Sorry. 4,000 from Jackson Monroe. And then two other airways that head west off of Jackson are 4,000 also. And then the 2 airways that are east off of Monroe are going to be 5,000. Plus that one, it's all the way to Jackson at 4,000. So those are MEAs. Then you have another chart in the upper right-hand corner of the non-radar map that's called your minimum, or it's called your MIA chart, and that stands for minimum IFR altitude. That's the minimum altitude that someone can be off the airway. Okay, now in non-radar, you're not going to have anybody. Well, okay, yes, you will. You're going to have some from Byerly Airport and Vicksburg Airport. Everybody else will be on airway. You have 3 minimum IFR altitudes, they're broken down pretty easy to remember, and so I won't go over that too much. Now, you also have an MRA, minimum reception altitude, and that's radio. That means that an airplane has to be at a certain altitude in order to be able to receive the radials that make up that intersection. Okay, you have one of those in your airspace. Then there's an MCA, minimum crossing altitude, which I'll talk about maybe in the lesson. And I still don't see that there is one on the map. Then you have what's called a MOCA. Okay, that's for minimum obstruction clearance altitude. You do have one of those. It will be on the map test. It is northeast of Sidon, pardon me, because that's the 007 radial. The MOCA is 2,000. The minimum en route altitude is 3,000, but within the first 22 miles northbound, northeastbound, you can have an aircraft at 2,000. You just have to cross them, give them a crossing restriction that ensures they get above that and get to at least 3,000 by the time they get to 22 miles northeast of Sidon Vortec. Okay, it's a lot of information. I know. That's why I suggest you take time to learn it before you get there. Okay, so next on the lesson are going to be the MOAs. Now, there used to be some restricted areas. It looks to me like they've taken the restricted areas off and they've gone straight to just MOAs. So, on the north end, you've got the Columbus 3 MOA. It has altitudes that it's in use, 8,000 up to, but not including flyable 180. It will be intermittently in use via NOTAM. You will, at the beginning of the scenario, be advised if it is active or if it's going active. And sometimes, especially in radar, they go active or inactive in the middle of the problem. A little bit south of there is the Meridian 1 West MOA. That is also 8,000 up to, but not including flyable 180. And that is intermittent by NOTAM. And if you see, you do have an airway that goes right through there. The same with the Columbus MOA. You have one airway that goes through it, one airway that goes around it. Then at the very southeast corner, you have the Meridian 2 West MOA, which is 8,000 up to, but not including flyable 180, and it is also intermittent by NOTAM. So those are the three military airspaces that you're going to have to deal with during your scenarios, both in non-radar and radar. Okay, so you think we're done, right? No. So we talked about the radials. Every airway is two radials off of a nav aid. Okay, they don't always match up, which I always thought was kind of interesting. Slight differences. You would think that a 178 radial off of one nav aid would end up being the 002 radial off the other airway, and it looks like they've actually changed some, so they may be a little more accurate like that. So the radials, you just have to keep doing them. You have to keep doing them, keep doing them, keep doing them. It's really the only way to memorize them. Now, there are some airways where if you see three of them off of a nav aid, learn the middle radial. The other two radials will be 15 degrees off one way or the other. Okay, There's a reason for that, which you will find out in a further lesson. There are three radials that come off of Monroe, three off of Sidon, three going northbound off of Magnolia, three going westbound off of Magnolia, three going southbound off of Magnolia, and then three going northbound off of Macomb. There's a reason for that. That allows you to be able to separate airplanes that would normally be going at each other or going the same direction. It allows you to use some lateral separation, and that's why they're there. Okay. So the radials, like I said, it's basically just repetition is the only way to learn radials. You also have mileages on the radials. And you'll have some interesting mileages. You're going to have a mileage from on a radial from a nav aid to a fix. And that will be above the radial, just a number. Above the airway, sorry, just a number. There will also be a number below the airway that will be in a box. That is the total mileage of that airway from one nav aid to another. So you're going to have, anytime you see an intersection, let's go ahead and talk about intersections. An intersection is just that. It's kind of like a, you know, almost a little stop sign or yield sign, maybe a better, more appropriate analogy. But they're on all of your, or most of your airways are going to have at least one intersection. I can see one that will not, and maybe two, maybe more. But most of them will have intersections. And the intersections are little triangles that are on the airway. And you're going to need to know those. Number one, it's on the map. So you have to. They're going to make you know it. Number two, you're going to need to know it. Okay? That's just all there is to it. You're going to need to know it. So, for instance, let's try Victor 427. Off of Monroe, it goes northeastbound until it hits Hayter intersection. I know it's an intersection because it's a triangle. It is also a compulsory reporting point, which means a pilot in non-radar has to report over Hayter intersection. You can tell that it's compulsory because it is darkened in. It is colored in. It's black. And then you have from Hayter going to Jackson. And so the mileage from Monroe to Hayter is 49 miles. The mileage from Hayter to Magnolia, is 49 miles. And then underneath that, you have a total of 98 miles. Okay. You also have intersections like on Victor 74, northwest of Magnolia, southeast of Greenville, VORDME, is Desky intersection. It is not a compulsory reporting point. You can tell that because it is not colored in. Okay. It is clear. Those are just intersections that you can use. Now, some of the intersections will be DME only intersections. You will be told in the lesson plan which ones are DME only. Remember that, highlight that, write it down, make a note, because that will be on at least one of your tests. If not, two or three. Okay? So, intersections. You're going to have mileages on the radials or on the airways from the NAVAID to the intersection, from the intersection to the next NAVAID. Okay? Now, if you're looking at the non-radar map for AeroCenter, before we get to this one, we'll do airports. Airports, you have a lot of airports on the map. Starting at the north, you've got Kilo Golf Whiskey Oscar. That is the Greenwood Airport. You will have a lot to do at Greenwood, both non-radar and radar. Going southbound, you have, let's go into Jackson Approaches Airspace. You've got Jackson International, Kilo Juliet Alpha November. You've got Hicks, Kilo Hotel Kilo Sierra. And then you've got Kilo Juliet Victor Whiskey, which I must admit the name is has flown out of my head. And I'm not going to take the time to look it up. So west of the airspace, you have Kilo Victor Kilo Sierra, which is Vicksburg Airport. You've got Kilo Tango Victor Romeo, which again, the name of that airport has flown out of my head. You've got north of there, Zero Mike 8. Okay, some airports don't have just letters. If it has just letters, it's going to have a K in front of it. So you can either say clear to the Kilo Golf Whiskey Oscar, or you can say clear to Golf Whiskey Oscar Airport. The K is the airport. Don't say both. They can write you up for a phraseology error on that. But Zero Mike 8 is the Byerly Airport. Okay, there are quite a few airports that have either one or two numbers and a letter. So, having gone through, I think we have talked about everything that is on the map. You have two holding pattern radials, one at Magnolia, one at Sidon. That's what the little dotted line with the radial is, you know. Learn that. There's a little dotted area down by Polk Low that is actually a Natchez block. You don't have to worry about that in non-radar. So now, if you're looking at the map, you have a lot of these diamonds around your airspace. As a matter of fact, anywhere that there is an airway that enters or leaves airspace, you have a diamond with a number in it. That is the mileage from the fix that that diamond is closest to the boundary. So at Sidon, east of Sidon, on Victor 278, the diamond mileage is 14. That is when you're going to give a comm change. Someone, a pilot, reports Sidon Vortac. They're going eastbound towards Bigby. Sidon is a reporting point. That's what the little black triangle in the middle of the Vortac means. It's a compulsory reporting point. They will report over Sidon. When they report over Sidon, you tell them, contact AeroCenter 128.0, 14 miles, northeast Sidon Vortac. That's your comm change. Those are what those mileages are. Those mileages are super important. And by super important, I mean they are even more important than that. You will use those diamond mileages so often in non-radar. You won't use them at all in radar, but then you won't be talking to airplanes in radar. But in non-radar, those diamond mileages are huge. I cannot stress enough, You have to know those. You have to know those without thinking. Now, in another episode, I may go over what they call the, or what we called the colored map, which is one that you will be able to use with you when you're running scenarios in non-radar. And they will give you a colored map even when you're running your evals in non-radar. They'll give you a different one because they don't want you to be able to write any notes on yours. Okay, so those are all of the things that are on the map. And you need to know all of them. Now, the map test is not about drawing the map. They are not going to judge your drawing of the map. Unlike when you get to your first facility and you start drawing maps, they will judge your drawing of the map. The reason you want to be able to draw this map is so that on the day of the map test, what will happen is they will give you a big blank sheet of paper. On the back side, it has the instructions for taking the test. On the front side, it has a blank non-radar map. You have time. They give you, I think, an hour and a half to take the test. I mean, it's a huge amount of time. You have plenty of time to draw the map. The more you can draw on the map, the better. If you can draw everything that is on the completed map, perfect. You don't have to draw all the sector names and all that, or write them where they are, just as long as you write them. So what this map that you have just spent, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes drawing, what that is your cheat sheet for the test. Now, you're going to take a test on a computer. Like I said, it's not about your drawing of the map. It's about answering the questions on the computer. And the instructions on the back of the map, the blank map, will tell you just how precise you need to be in your answers. If you do a good job and you draw the map well, you should make well above a 90 on the map test. I have seen students who have tried to take the map test without drawing the map, and it can be done, and you can do well. But the FAA is giving you an opportunity to write down basically a cheat sheet for the test. I would rather have as much of that on paper where I could just look at it as a reference. Some of the things, yes, I'm going to know. I'm going to know right off. But why not have a reference? Why not have a very complete reference? But that is the map. That is the map. Plans are underway for me to do a video going over the map visually so you can actually see the map that I'm looking at. And I'll go over what each and everything is in much more detail. And I'll probably separate it out into these are the sectors. And then these are the nav aids. These are the airports. These are the airways. Okay. These are the radials. And all that. That is in the works. I would say it was going to come out fairly soon. But unfortunately, something tragic happened to a coworker. Today. I'm actually recording this Sunday evening. I usually don't wait this long, but I'm recording it Sunday evening. It'll be published tomorrow. But we lost a coworker today. I have no idea what happened or why, But
he's not going to be coming to work anymore.
And so I may need to take a little bit of time away from the podcast.
May have to postpone some plans for videos and for making videos available to you guys.
I don't know yet. I don't know. It's been a rough day. He was supposed to be there today, and he wasn't. And so our prayers go out to his family. I worked with him for 3.5 years. I worked around him quite a bit in the last year and a half. I didn't work around him as much before that, but you know, you work with someone for any amount of time, and even if you're not what you would call close friends, you are friends, and you do care for them, you care about them, you care about what they care about. And he's not there anymore. And so as a facility, we're trying to deal with it. It's not easy. It's a small facility. There were 5 controllers. Now we're down to 3. We have a new one coming in tomorrow. We just had one of the guys that had been there the longest, really. He is leaving for another facility. So he wasn't there today. And then we lost another one. And so that's a lot of me talking. And just to say that I don't know if there will be a podcast next week. I will try, but I'm just trying to be honest with you. I don't know if it's going to happen. But I haven't given his name, and I'm not going to, but just, you know, keep his family, his friends, those that know him. I know there's at least one instructor, tower instructor at the academy that knows him, that worked with him. But just keep them in your prayers and in your thoughts. And I hate to end the podcast on that note, but I think I'm going to. But hopefully all the information about the map will help you as you're studying it. Hopefully it will help you understand a little bit of what you're looking at. If you don't have any, you know, air traffic background or aviation background, hopefully it'll give you a little bit of an idea. But it won't be the last time that I talk about the map. I may, you know, just do different episodes about the different things that are on the map. We'll see. But thank you guys for listening. Thank you for putting up with me for another week. pardon me. Just continue to hang in there. If you're at the academy, you're about to be at the academy, hang in there. Keep going. If you're struggling en route, there are other options. Call me. We can talk. Because I know some other options. But thank you again for listening. Thank you for being there. Thank you for your comments. And thank you for the 5-star reviews. Thank you so much for all of that. If you need to ask a question, the email will be in the notes. It's tomhaines@sidebysideatc.com. If you want to go to the website, it's sidebysideatc.com. The website hopefully will be changing. Again, that may be put off a little bit because of the events of today. But like I said, hang in there. You don't have to do this ATC journey alone. Please don't. Get someone to help you. whether it's me or someone else, get someone to help you through it, help you get through it. Don't do it alone. We can do it with you, and we'll be there with you side by side. Until next week, hopefully, we'll talk again. Bye.